Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. Today on Franchise Euphoria, I have on Peter Hans of Discovery Map Franchise. Peter started his career as a commercial banker based in Boston. He traveled around New England and studied at night for his MBA at Babson College. When he received his degree, he moved to Zurich, Switzerland, and became an investment banker. He lived there for 6 years and later London for six more. During that time, he was fortunate enough to travel to most every major European capital and also to Australia, Asia, and South America. Shortly before leaving London, he married his wife and they moved back to the States to start a family. The lure of purchasing a company that merges travel maps and franchise ownership was twofold for Peter. Throughout his travels, he was always looking for a resource that provided quick and easy to find information about all of the businesses and services a place has to offer. Discovery Map International is exactly that resource. The second part of the equation is that he truly enjoys owning his own business, nurturing it and watching it succeed, grow, and profit. It stands to reason that he not only owns the company as the franchisor, but also has jumped into the exciting shoes of franchise ownership himself. This is a very interesting interview about a very interesting franchise that my guess is you've may not have heard about before. So enjoy my interview with Peter Hans. Hello, Peter. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks, Josh. How about yourself?
Doing great. I'm excited to have you on the show to talk about Discovery Map, which is a franchise system that candidly I was unaware of and interested to learn more about. But before we dive into that, why don't you take a minute and just kind of tell us about yourself and then how you got involved with the franchise system.
Sure. Happy to do that. Well, let's see. I grew up in upstate New York and lived in New England and the eastern United States most of my life, except for a period of about 12 years that I lived overseas. I lived in Switzerland and in England. And during those years and before that time as well, I was a banker working for both commercial and investment banks. And then around 2002, I moved back home to the States, you know, was looking for something to do, didn't have my banking Rolodex because that was all European oriented. So I ended up working for a small defense contractor in the little tiny town that I live in central Vermont called Waitsfield. During that time, after about a year or so of doing that, my assistant there said to me, "My parents are thinking about selling their business. Would you have any interest in buying it?" And I said, "Yeah, perhaps I would." And we began to start talking. And sure enough, 6 months later or so, I acquired a company then called Resort Maps, based in Waitsfield, had been based in Waitsfield, and at the time had about 64 franchisees. And then sometime later, about 4, 5, 6 years later, a similar company on the West Coast in the state of Washington, who was a competitor, I became somewhat friendly with the owner there. And we had conversations over the years. And eventually, we ended up acquiring Discovery Map. And as you know, took their name and some of their branding and of course, their West Coast footprint as well.
Well, and so with Resort Map, did you say you acquired Resort Maps as well?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so now you have the two together then under Discovery Map?
That's exactly right. In 2011, we acquired Discovery Map and we spent the next year or so integrating the two companies. That's right.
Well, first of all, what does the company do? That's probably a good jumping off point.
Yeah. Well, we make, I think the FDD says kind of alternative advertising platform, but it really is caricature drawn maps of cities and towns around the country, a little bit outside the country, but mostly in the US, and really nicely drawn maps. You know, we have some talented artists that, make, you know, make any community look nice and make nice communities look great. And what our franchisees do is they sell advertising to local, typically local businesses on the footprint of the map. And usually those businesses are kind of visitor oriented. So maps that typically appear in, say, a destination, and those businesses that are looking to attract visitors advertise on the map. And it's a great tool, because usually when a visitor picks up a map, which, by the way, they're free and distributed in the communities that they represent, when a visitor picks up the map, he or she is usually looking to spend some money, you know, whether to go shopping or to grab a hamburger or take the kids to a whatever, something to do. So they are a really effective tool to promote local businesses.
Okay, so now I get the bottom. Okay, because it was funny, because as I was reading up on you guys and preparing for the interview, I was like, what's the business model here? So the model is essentially you have these really nice looking, neat, interesting, well-designed maps, and then you go to local businesses and essentially have them advertise on parts of the map. And then within those communities, the maps are, you know, are they given away on newsstand, you know, on stands or in businesses, or where do people pick them up?
Yeah, we distribute them at every advertiser. So let's pick a community. I'm sitting in Newport, Rhode Island right now. So in Newport, we have every advertiser who's on the map would have maps available to visitors, as well as, you know, the local visitor center, the train station, the airport, any kind of high traffic destination would also distribute maps. So, so they're pretty readily available once you come into a community.
Well, and so when you first purchased Resort Maps, you said they had about 64 franchisees.
Yep.
Okay. When you purchased Discovery Maps, how many franchisees do they have?
They had about 25 or so, and that was kind of when we started the discussion. I think when the discussions ended and we finalized the transaction, it was more like 18, 20, something like that. That was a company that for various reasons had run into some headwinds and was suffering a little bit. But I think the model that we had been using with previous to that with Resort Maps was really well suited for the business. You know, it kind of harmonized the franchisee's interests with our own. So the maps that remained at that point have continued to thrive since then.
Well, so it's kind of begs the question a little bit. One of the things I'm thinking is if Resort Maps had 65 franchisees and Discovery Maps had, you know, 24, 25 and was going through some changes or some issues that would be resolved, I'm curious the decision to merge them into Discovery Maps instead of Resort Maps. Was there a reason for that? Or,
well, when I say merge to Discovery Map, we're really talking about the name specifically, and I don't want to go too far out on a tangent, but I will as long as you'll indulge me. Resort Maps, we had endeavored at one point in time to register the name on the principal register of the U.S. Patent and Trademark
Office.
We couldn't get it registered.
That's what I thought. Okay, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, we did get it registered on the supplemental register, but that frankly doesn't carry all the benefits of being on the principal register. And the reasoning, of course, was that it was a name in common usage, I think is what the Fed said. And it's funny because at the time I didn't really see that. I kind of was grumpy and thought that that's not right. But since then, of course, I see the words Resort Maps all over the place, you know, any kind of W or big.
So it makes sense, right? I mean, so that's a really interesting point. You probably thought when you were purchasing the business that you would just maybe go with the Resort Maps or at least look into it, not realizing that when you were going to get federal U.S. protection for it, they were going to come back and say, no, that's too common of a name. There's not enough distinctiveness. So on and so forth. So when you go onto a supplemental registry, you do get some protections, but not the full protections of the principal registry. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and interestingly, because you know, to my mind, Discovery Map would be a tough name to get registered in this day and age, anyway. But yeah, it turns out it already was registered, so that was part of the reason we were attracted to them.
Well, that makes a lot of sense too. So in other words, they were wise enough to make sure that they had federal protection before they started expanding through the franchise model, which of course added value then, of course, when you guys came in to purchase it.
Exactly correct. Yep.
Well, that's fascinating. So tell me, you know, it's funny, the business model that is the engine behind Discovery Maps, I'm very familiar with. You know, I've worked with, you know, other magazine companies and so forth, where this is sort of the model, you know, you put out, it's sort of the equivalent, right? I mean, except it's on a map versus in a magazine or community magazine or something like that. But the idea is essentially you're bringing on franchisees who have a territory, and then they sell advertisements into the territory, and then they make money off of that, and then you get a royalty. I'm curious if you'd be willing to discuss sort of how you are identifying your territories and then identifying, you know, the number of territories that each franchisee will get, or is it broken down by just one territory? How is the offering set up?
Yeah, initially, a new franchisee would acquire one territory, and with the intention that that would be one map. From time to time, a franchisee will find a way to squeeze a second map into a territory, but generally speaking, one territory equals one map. And, you know, even though we've been at this for a long time and we've grown a little bit, we still carry on like a relatively small company. When we award a territory to a franchisee, we really kind of work together with them to establish what the territory boundaries are. You know, the things that we are concerned about is making sure that there's enough commerce to ensure that the franchisee at least has the potential to be successful, because we all want that. No one wants anyone to be set up for failure. But on the other hand, we don't want to necessarily cannibalize another potential territory. So there's kind of a creative dynamic there. And also, you know, our maps drawn in caricature can only cover so much geography and do it well in a kind of a compelling way for the user. So that too factors into, you know, how large a territory might be. We want to make sure that whatever ends up, you know, some part of the territory, perhaps not all of it, but some part will be drawn on the face of the map. And we want to make sure that that piece is compelling to users, just, you know, so they pick it up and use it.
So give me an idea so I can visualize. So a caricature drawn map. So tell me, well, give me an example of something, you know, because obviously it's an audio podcast. We can't see anything, right. But there will be a promo page to it and everything, which we could have an example of. But maybe if you could tell me what that looks like, because I kind of have a visual in my head, but I don't know if it's accurate of what is a caricature drawn map look like. I know it's different for each location, but can you kind of give me an idea of that?
I can. It's funny, as you're asking the question, I'm sitting here scratching my head thinking, how am I going to describe with words what we do visually? But probably the best way I can describe it is to tell you a little bit about how we create them. And I think that will yield some clarity. And that is, when we go and visit each and every new territory ourselves, that is to say, two folks from head office will go out and visit the territory, because when we lay the maps out, we don't necessarily do them 100% to scale, because we want to emphasize commerce, of course, you know, small coffee shops or whatever have you. So we don't draw them to scale. We do draw them to emphasize commerce.
And then you go to those folks to advertise on the maps, right?
Exactly correct. We don't initially when we create the map, but then the franchisee does once he's ready, you know, having been trained in sales and business operations and, you know, pre-press production and all that jazz. Once he's ready to go, he or she goes out and contacts those same businesses, exactly, soliciting advertising. There's a little bit of work before we travel to a new territory, and that, as you might be able to imagine, is done with some satellite photography. You know, obviously that stuff is readily available nowadays on the internet. So we look at some direct top-down photography to see the territory and to see where the commerce is, and to, as I say, to emphasize that. And then we go and we do the trip, and we lay out what we think will be the best setup for the map, the best layout for the map. And then we go back to our offices and use no longer top-down satellite photography, but rather kind of what I like to call oblique angle photography, or, you know, kind of at a 45-degree angle. And that way our artists can put all the information together, particularly the angled photography, so that they can create or draw the facades of the buildings. So again, if you kind of fast forward back to where we were, the map will then show, it will emphasize the buildings, and you'll drive past a building and you'll recognize it because it'll look just like it looks in real life. And really, that's in a way the beauty of the maps, that you can you can use them to navigate with, without them being to scale, because we show the buildings, or if we're, you know, if there's a road cut or kind of skip a mile, we'll say that right on the face of the map. So it's all very clear. It's usable as a navigation tool, but equally kind of has an artistic interpretation of the area.
Well, and so then as the franchisor, so I want to talk about both sides, the franchisor and the franchisee. So as the franchisor, after you've, you find somebody comes into the territory, what's the role of the franchisor in this particular franchise model? I mean, what's the ongoing value that the franchisor is providing to the franchisee?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good question, because I would think that we're a little bit different from most franchisors in that specific case, because, you know, a new franchisee comes in, we work together to establish what we mutually believe is a good, strong territory. We invite the franchisee in for training. A lot of times it might be a husband and wife, or a mom and daughter, or, you know, families do this together often. So we invite them in for a couple days training in our offices in Vermont, but also a couple more days training through video conferencing, so that, you know, it's hard for people to set aside a week or more to come to visit with us in Vermont. And also we try to link the training together with the actual activity that the franchisee engages in time. So let's say if we trained, you know, we trained you in pre-press production today, but, you know, you just bought your franchise today and you probably won't be in production for 6 months, in which case you have forgotten most of what we've taught you. So we try to match that. You know what I mean? We try not to train production until you're about to begin that phase of the endeavor. So obviously training is a big part of it, but I think what makes us different from a lot of franchisors is that each and every map comes back through our office every year, in that we have a graphics team that updates the maps. You know, you would think, well, the map is the map and it should be relatively constant. But of course, new advertisers come, sometimes old advertisers go, road layouts change, new buildings appear. So there's always something changing in a map territory that needs to be reflected on the map. And of course, the advertisers change as well. So we work very closely with franchisees at a minimum of once a year, and that's kind of an iterative process that lasts for about a month or so. So we're pretty active, really, in all the franchises.
What about the printing and the distribution? I mean, do you guys assist with that, or is that all on the franchisee?
Well, what we do is the franchisee is the counterparty, the actual person that has the maps printed, but we use our relationship with a handful of large print vendors around the country, and that gives us a little bit of negotiating authority for pricing. And if something goes wrong, you know, you can imagine there's a lot of shipping of maps across the country, or hopefully more local than that, and a box might fall off the top or get damaged or whatever. So our relationships allow us to rectify those situations to everyone's satisfaction, generally pretty quickly and easily. So the franchisee themselves do the printing, but they kind of do it with our assistance, if you will.
So they get discounts on the printing because of the number of locations that you have and the size in total of the opportunity for that, for the print vendor, as an example, right?
Indeed. Yeah. Company wide, we probably print, not quite 20 million copies of maps a year, but pretty close. So, you know, and you divide that up among three or four printers, and those folks are very anxious to have a piece of that business.
Exactly.
Then, yeah. Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about the franchisee side. So the franchisee said, I got to think with, if this is, you know, advertising, are you looking for people with sales backgrounds ideally to come in as the franchisee, or do you, who is the ideal franchisee prospect for Discovery Map?
Another excellent question. The short answer is yes, we want somebody with sales experience, but really I think, and I don't want to sound highfalutin or anything, but we kind of take a holistic approach. A lot of folks who don't have sales experience, but who happen to be very good at engaging with people, and just happy to make new relationships and so forth. Those are really the folks who turn out to be the best. Some with sales experience, some without, but just somebody who's really comfortable talking with new people. You know, that because that's essentially what the endeavor is. You know, we're not, it's certainly not a hard sell. We're not trying to get franchisees to compel small businesses to advertise. Rather, they kind of inform as a colleague, right? Because our franchisees are small business owners in a given community. So they're speaking to a peer, really advising them of an opportunity that they may or may not want to participate in.
Now, is this a full-time type gig for a franchisee, or is it the type where, you know, you're looking for somebody who maybe has another job but has some time to spare on the side? So it's more like it can be a side, you know, a lot of people call it a side hustle, where essentially they have an opportunity now to make more money in addition to what they do, but it's not necessarily something that's a full-time opportunity. Or is it a full-time opportunity?
Well, it's interesting. The model is really interesting. It is full time for a period of time, but not a terribly long period of time. So for example, in the first annual publication of a map, we encourage franchisees to invest at least 3 months full time efforts in the sales process. Then you go on into production, which is much less of a time commitment, maybe 20% of your time over the course of about a month. And thereafter, distributing the maps is, you know, one day every 10 days or 2 weeks. That's in year one. Now, you know, over time, the map will kind of establish its presence in a community. People will recognize it. And of course, the franchisee will be talking to folks he or she already knows now, right? Do you want to renew again next year? Sure, I'd love to. So that 3 months kind of telescopes down to anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. So there's full time.
And it's an annual. So it's an annual buy-in. So it's
that's right.
Okay, but and then the advertisers, they're paying an annual fee that's split out into months. They're just paying one upfront annual fee at the time.
That's right. I mean, some pay it over time, but it's one annual fee. That's right. So in terms of franchisee engagement, a lot of times we have folks who are otherwise sales reps, or maybe they might be a real estate broker who can fit it into their schedule. It generally doesn't work very well with somebody who has a 9-to-5, you know, because you really need to be there at your office, and you also need some quality time to sell advertising. So that's not always a good fit, but a lot of times also our franchisees, you know, do well, like the business, and decide to acquire additional franchises, in which case, you know, once you get to two or three, it might well become your full-time thing, you know, but a single map generally is not in terms of time investment, and also typically in terms of return as well.
Now, are you guys looking to expand throughout the U.S.? Is that the goal?
Indeed. Yeah. We have a pretty good footprint up and down the East Coast, also on the West Coast, although a little bit less so. And these days, we, of course, you know, more maps on the East and West Coast is always good news to us. But we really feel like we have room to grow in the middle of the country. We have some maps in Michigan. I think we're going to do one in Ohio soon. We have Kentucky and Tennessee, but definitely there's room to grow in the center of the country, as well as Canada and Mexico. We have two franchises in Canada, and we're just about to launch our first map in Mexico. I think it'll publish here in the next couple of weeks.
So are you seeing your growth being more attributed to, you know, referrals based on the people who are franchisees or who know about you? Or are you guys, you know, focused, you know, a lot on, you know, digital media, social media, all that stuff, and other marketing efforts to kind of get the word out?
We do use digital media for marketing, also, you know, print magazines. You know, Forbes not long ago named us one of the top franchises. So on the back of that, we definitely bought some print advertising. It's funny, though, it turns out that whenever somebody gets serious and either, you know, gets to the finish line or near the finish line, it's always, you know, they would have heard of us in Forbes or Inc. magazine or online, but they would have also used the maps themselves. It's funny that way, that the folks who end up buying franchises are already at some level familiar with the maps because they would have used them sometime.
Oh, that's, well, that's interesting. Well, I think it's a very interesting concept. I, like I said before, your team had reached out, I had not heard of it, but I'm glad that you did reach out, and I'm happy to learn more about it. If anybody wants to learn more information about it, they can go to discoverymap.com, or specifically on the franchise element, you can go to discoverymapfranchise.com to learn about that opportunity. And of course, it looks like you guys are on Instagram at discovery_map, and then on Facebook as Discovery Map as well. I just want to say thank you, Peter, for coming on and sharing a little bit. I know there's lots of things we can discuss, but this has been fantastic just to get kind of an understanding of the story behind Discovery Map and how it came to be and how you're continuing to grow it. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Josh. It was great to speak to you. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art, and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria, and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.